Thank you guys so much for joining us today. First off, could you give me some background about what the National Guard does in Alaska? I mean, we have so many different military groups.
The Alaska National Guard is a unique military organization because it's composed of both Army forces and Air forces. So we have the Army Guard and the Air Guard. And what's unique about it is that we can be either on federal orders, training or prosecuting the nation's war fight, or we also could be on state status, working to help our neighbors in times of emergency. So the National Guard across the United States comes to the rescue if needed. It comes to the assistance of their neighbors within their states to assist during and after emergency disasters.
Do you have a recent example of when you guys have swooped in to do that kind of job?
So within Alaska, the Alaska National Guard has come on to status in order to assist our neighbors for the wildfires. The Card Street fire comes to mind. Also, right here in Kodiak, a couple of years ago, the Shinnyak fire saw a number of our Alaska Army National Guardsmen who live here in Kodiak. They self-deployed, and without being asked to do so, they went to the armory, opened up the armory, and started to assist folks to evacuate to a safe space. This past fall, we were very heavily involved in other people's disasters. We sent Army Guard and Air Guard troops, as well as members of the Alaska State Defense Force, to assist in recovery operations and search and rescue after the hurricanes. So we had folks in Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. And we like to assist other states for a number of reasons. One is that's what we do. And also we like to practice on other people's emergencies and disasters so that we're better prepared here for home. And also if we have a really bad day in Alaska and we need their assistance, we know that they're going to come to our aid as well.
All right. Could you tell me a little bit about how the National Guard is unique to Alaska as opposed to some other states where they might have a presence?
The Alaska National Guard is a unique organization here in Alaska for a lot of reasons. And the one that comes to mind most readily is on the Air Guard side, we are very heavily involved every day in the federal missions. And so, for example, we are in charge of combat search and rescue for the Air Force all throughout Alaska. So if we have an emergency and we have a plane go down and people need to be found and given aid and rescued, it's Alaska National Guard members who do that. The Rescue Coordination Center, which is the primary hub for emergency activity for plane mishaps, that also is manned by Alaska National Guardsmen. We also provide strategic airlift for the Air Force throughout the Pacific realm. And on the Army side, we have the Ground-Based Midcourse Defense Battalion at Fort Greely. So the ground-based interceptors that would go up into space and intercept incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles, that whole enterprise, that's Alaska National Guardsmen. And their partners over on the space domain side are also Alaska National Guard members. So we have radars and other instruments that can check and see what's flying around in space for situational awareness. And so the folks who would first see that incoming intercontinental ballistic missile, those also are Alaska National Guard members.
How does the National Guard work together with other branches of the Army or with other military forces in the state?
We often have different military organizations who come to train in Alaska. Alaska is a fabulous place to train, whether you're Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines. Everybody wants to come up here because there's a lot of operating space. And so sometimes we provide aviation support, like helicopter lift, for folks who come here to train, or we train with them side by side. And sometimes we assist them in coming in and out of state. And so we partner a lot with all the services, all the branches of service, and also all the components. So active duty, reserves, and guard, we work with everyone together.
Could you talk a little bit about your different ranks and what you do? Yeah, I'm not super familiar with what it is that each of your positions are.
Well, I'm a major general, so that means I've got 2 stars, and that is the highest rank in the state for the Alaska National Guard. So effectively, I'm the commander of the entire force, and the force is called together the Alaska Organized Militia. And the Organized Militia is comprised of the Alaska Army National Guard, the Alaska Air National Guard, the Alaska State Defense Force, and the Alaska Naval Militia.
All right, what about you guys?
So, again, I'm John James. I'm the commander of the Alaska State Defense Force. I have a brigade all across the state. We're trying to grow into 17 armories across the state. We do have a detachment here in Kodiak. We have a special troops battalion along the road network, essentially a MP, a military police company, and an engineer company, and a signal company. And then out in western Alaska through Bethel, and we're working on Nome and Kos Butte as well, and Ukiavik. We've got the detachments there that conduct essentially domain awareness patrols. So they report any anomalies they see in the domain through the chain of command. So that's essentially what the State Defense Force is all about.
I'd like to explain a little bit more about the State Defense Force, because you can see when you look at our uniforms, if you look at my right sleeve, there's an American flag, and Colonel Alaska James is wearing an Alaska flag. If you also look at the tapes over our hearts, mine says U.S. Army, and his says Alaska. So the difference between the Alaska State Defense Force and the Alaska National Guard is that the National Guard has a federal role. It has a federal mission, and we could be called into service for the war fight or for any other thing that the President of the United States needed us to do. The Alaska State Defense Force is a state-only force, and so they are an augmenting unit. They train alongside the National Guard. They provide assistance to us whenever we're doing emergency response missions or doing missions inside the state. But they cannot be called into federal service. So their commander-in-chief all the time is Governor Walker. And for the Alaska Army and Air National Guard, our commander-in-chief is usually Governor Walker if we are working in state status. But if we are called to federal status or activated, then our commander-in-chief becomes the president.
And I don't want to leave you out over there, Don.
Sure. So within the Army, as General Hummel just described, she is the commander of the Army or the Alaska National Guard. So underneath her, she has 2 1-star generals that are component commanders in the Air Guard and the Army Guard. And right underneath the Army Guard commander, I am a brigade commander. So within my unit hierarchy, I have an infantry battalion, an aviation battalion, and the ground-based missile defense battalion.
Okay, so what kind of presence do you have in Kodiak?
In Kodiak, we're proud to say that we have 17 soldiers who are drilling members or traditional members of the Alaska Army National Guard. They come to training on a monthly basis, and sometimes they train right here at the Kodiak Armory, and then occasionally they would go someplace else, most likely Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, in order to do training at a larger level, collective training with more soldiers. We also have 13 members of the Alaska State Defense Force and growing. So we just had breakfast with a number of the Alaska State Defense Force members who are the Kodiak Detachment here. They're really motivated. They're really excited about the work that they get to do in support of Alaska, and they are actively recruiting new members.
What is it that they're doing in Kodiak?
Sure. So the Kodiak State Defense Force Detachment is an engineering detachment. They've helped out in the community. They've built some shelters for some folks and assisted with that. They've also, during the fire, reported to the armory and made themselves available if they were needed. During the earthquake and the following tsunami a couple months ago, 12 of which reported to the armory and made themselves available and then called through the chain of command. And what we were doing was kind of watching this scenario and seeing how it was gonna, you know, how it was playing out. And thankfully, we didn't not have a tsunami, so they remained in the armory but made themselves available. They also participated in Arctic Eagle 18 this past winter in March. We had several members go to the port of Alcan and conduct a patrol, a domain awareness patrol along the border with Canada. And so members of the State Defense Force Detachment here in Kodiak deployed and went up there and participated in that exercise with the Canadian Army Rangers. So very active organization, and as Major General Hummel stated, they are looking for recruits. Just had to get that in there, man. Really active unit, very excited about protecting their families and the community and the state of Alaska holistically, and just a great bunch of folks.
And I understand you guys are trying to make sure you have a strong presence in the rural communities.
We are very engaged in recruiting and partnering with our rural communities. You know, about 20, 30, 40 years ago, the Alaska Army National Guard had a very distinct and large presence throughout rural Alaska. And there was practically an armory in every village. And that has waned over the decades. And we are working with rural communities to try to get young people interested in military service, and also mentoring them, working with those young people who are interested in service so that they can qualify for enlistment. And one of the big differences between being in the Alaska National Guard and being, say, in the active component of the Army and the Air Force is our young people, when they enlist, they go away for training for a number of months, but then they come back home. And unlike in the active component, where you move around the country, you move around the world, and you say goodbye to your home, Alaska National Guard soldiers and airmen stay in Alaska. And so they are able to be service members and Alaskans at the same time. And the really cool thing about it is that state mission that we have, where we are the first uniformed service to come to the assistance of our neighbors. And that is why a lot of folks are interested in the National Guard. They want to serve a higher purpose, a higher calling, and they want to assist their nation in times of need, but they also want to serve their immediate communities in their times of need.
What's the presence of Alaska Natives in each sector?
So across the board in the Army National Guard, we have about 8.5% of our force are Alaska Native, and that, you know, statewide, the statistics for the Alaska Native population within Alaska is roughly about 18%. And so our goal as an organization is to be reflective of this, you know, citizenry we serve. So we try very hard to encourage and participation among our rural communities. We've got several initiatives that we've embarked on to try to increase the enrollment of some of the members of those communities.
What sort of initiatives?
As General Homer alluded to, you know, all emergencies are local. So typically first responders in each of our communities are, we want to increase our capacity with our National Guard presence in these communities. We've got something called the Rural Guard Initiative, which we've unfolded here a couple of years ago to help increase the number of rural soldiers that are participating in the Guard. And so we look at each of our communities and look for qualified young men and women to serve. And in each of our communities, we have recruiters that we sent out to look at interested individuals.
Do you find that many people are interested directly after high school, or what time in their lives do they tend to come to you and say, this is something that I want to do?
I would say that it varies. There are some young people who know when they're in elementary school that they want to be soldiers, they want to be airmen, or they want to be soldiers and Marines. I mean, sailors and Marines. And so some kids grow up with that dream. And then there are some who look at the end of their schooling and say, well, I'm not sure what I want to do. And they don't really have a clear path set in their mind. And so for those individuals who are not sure if college is right for them, not sure if technical school is right for them, not quite sure what they want to, quote, be when they grow up, the military service is a great stopgap, right? It's a great place to grow up. You can learn a skill. You can learn leadership qualities. The income is good. The benefits are good. And you have that great feeling of being part of a winning team. There's another cohort of people who get interested later in life. You know, they might be in their late 20s or even into their 30s, and they've tried something else, and it just didn't really work for them. Or they have developed a skill, but they feel as though they don't have the job security in that skill, or they're not getting the pay and the benefits that they would like using that skill. And guess what? That skill exists inside the Army Guard or the Air Guard. And so we can enlist them, and they can do what they like to do. They don't have to do different things, and they can be part of our team. So we get all types, and we talk to all comers, because there are varying gates for entry. And so we want everybody who has any interest at all, or even if you don't, but you're just a little bit curious, our recruiters can show you what's in the realm of the possible.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the infrastructure projects that you guys are working on?
So within, we have this program within the Department of Defense called the Innovative Readiness Training Program, which ostensibly allows local communities working with other agencies to look at infrastructure improvement within some of our communities. One specific example, it would be the relocation of a community of Newtok on Nelson Island, which over a number of years has started to recede into the into the river that they have going on there. So they're actually relocating the community. And they've actually have a number of agencies involved, but there is a program called the Innovative Readiness Training Program, which brings in military skills and folks to help with the infrastructure improvement. In this particular case, they're helping to relocate the community from the old town site to the new town site. And so that's been going on for a number of years. And there's a couple of projects here within Kodiak itself for our runway expansion program, taking the runway from 2,700 feet to over 4,000 feet. That's part of the Innovative Readiness Training Program. So Marines and some of our National Guardsmen will be on Kodiak this summer to help with that project. And so that, again, improves the infrastructure, allows for a larger aircraft and other transportation to be able to come to those communities.
What community is that being done?
Old Harbor.
Yeah. Okay. Could you tell me a little bit about how that began, that need in Old Harbor?
So I think over a number of years, the community has recognized that their runway is not long enough to bring in larger aircraft. And through a number of inquiries throughout the state and ultimately with the Department of Defense and their IRT program, you know, it's a very competitive program across the country and in places like Alaska, especially where infrastructure is lacking. And so through a number of conversations, you know, that project made its way up to the top of the list there. So
what kind of project is one that would apply for help from the National Guard?
So communities identify the need for something to be done. And they apply for innovative readiness training project. And the communities have to supply the material, and the military supplies the labor. And some examples of things that have been done over the years, digging wells, playgrounds, expanding roads, levees, moving buildings in a community that's suffering from riverine erosion, the Old Harbor runway expansion project. And the great thing about innovative readiness training is it's a good thing for the community, because the community only has to buy the supplies. And it's a great thing for the military, especially the Alaska National Guard, because it gives us the opportunity to exercise our skills and to train right here at home. And there are a lot of guardsmen who haven't been around Alaska, but it, as you know, it's difficult and expensive. And so a project that is in a rural community is a project that many hands go up for, because soldiers want to make that visit. They want to do real-world training, they want to assist a community, and they want to see Alaska. And so if anyone goes to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs website, there is right on the page, it says innovative readiness training. What's it all about, and how does a community apply? And you click on it, and there's a lot of information about how a what kinds of projects are most likely to be approved, and how a community applies for them. And we have an individual, his name is Major Chad Ossel, and his job is to assist communities to get through the application process, and his phone number is right on the website. So we invite anyone to call Chad Ossel and help us help you.
Moving forward, does the National Guard have any projects they're trying to work on statewide, or any other initiatives that they're building up?
Well, aside from the innovative readiness training programs, which we already described, we try to do our annual training where we bring our soldiers and our airmen together for collective training. And whenever possible, we will move soldiers around the state and actually do our training in communities and around communities. And communities have been so receptive to this. And it really leads to the start of a great relationship. So for example, for several years now, we've had a squad of soldiers that have run a checkpoint on the Kuskokwim 300 sled dog race. And it's a great opportunity for our infantry soldiers to practice their field craft in subarctic conditions, but also they get to talk to the community, share, learn, become better neighbors. And it anytime we go out to communities to train, it always leads to school visitations, and we're able to show the kids our equipment, show them our antiquated skis and snowshoes, and just talk to them about what it's like to be a soldier or an airman. So anytime we can, we get away from our main bases and go work and re-energize ourselves around the state.
I know you guys are recruiting probably consistently, I'm guessing. Is that why you're in town?
Well, that's one of the reasons that we're in town. And what we find is that you can recruit a lot better if people understand who you are and what you do. And so, you know, every soldier is a recruiter. Every airman is a recruiter. And we believe that by telling our story and helping people understand what is it like to be a soldier or an airman, what is it like to be a National Guardsman, and we all believe in what we're doing very much. And so, yes, we're here to recruit, but mostly we're here to listen and to learn and to partner and be better neighbors.
What's your personal objective? What are some of the things that you want to achieve?
My personal objective for the Alaska National Guard is that we are a ready and trusted military organization that has the has earned the utmost confidence of the Alaskan people, that we are always ready for our neighbors, and we're always there in times of need, whether that need be overseas operations because our country is in peril and we need to help defend it, or we need to come to the immediate aid of our neighbors. So we're here in Kodiak with not just our National Guard force and our State Defense Force, but we also have representatives here from our Emergency Management Division, and they are interacting with their community partners. And we also have representatives here from our Office of Veterans Affairs. So one of the things that we always do is look for the veterans and help the veterans understand their benefits, their entitlements, and help them negotiate that, because it can be kind of a daunting process. So you probably know that Alaska has more veterans per capita than any other state, 75,000 veterans. And so our job is to help connect them with the benefits that the American people have guaranteed for them.
So my mom taught high school, public high school in Brooklyn, and she said that there are a lot of kids who struggled in class and maybe didn't have a lot of structure. And then when they graduated, they decided they wanted to join the Army or some kind of structured group. And they found it was the best thing that they could have done because it gave them some structure and it gave them a purpose. Do you find that the National Guard provides that for many people in Alaska?
The Alaska National Guard provides a sense of family. It provides a sense of purpose. It provides a sense of structure. And it provides external motivation when folks, maybe all of us at one time or another, lack internal motivation. You know, I talk to a lot of people who have left the military. Maybe they served 3 years, 10 years, 20 years. And not one of them ever told me, boy, I wish I hadn't have joined the military. But I talk to a lot of people also who say, I wish I'd have been in the military. So it's interesting how your perspective changes over time. And boy, if I had a dime for every middle-aged or elderly adult who said that they wished that they had taken the opportunity when they had it to become a part of something bigger than themselves, like the armed services, I'd be a rich person. You mentioned about kids struggling, maybe not having appropriate amount of structure or not feeling like they can, get their feet going in the right direction. And we actually sponsor a program called the Alaska Military Youth Academy. And this is a program that is residential, and it's on J-Bear, Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson, near Anchorage. It's a 22-week residential program where kids who are age 16 to 18 who have dropped out of high school and have not found success in their lives or the success that they wish for in their lives, they come to this program. It's kind of all-encompassing 24/7, and it's a different kind of high school. The governor calls it the governor's high school because they go to classes, so they go to school, but they also live in a military life school, lifestyle. And they're challenged to learn about themselves and to develop goals and objectives and paths for getting there. It is a highly, highly successful program. There are a lot of kids from rural communities who come in and graduate and go on to be flourishing young adults. You can get a GED at the Alaska Military Youth Academy. You can get a high school diploma. Or if you don't get either of those things, it just provides you an opportunity to catch up with your credits and kind of reboot yourself and get ready to go back to high school. So here with us in Kodiak today, we'll be having a town hall later today, and we do have someone with us from the Alaska Military Youth Academy. He's a recruiter. We've had a large number of kids from Kodiak who have come and graduated and gone on to be super successful.
What are some of the challenges you face serving rural communities?
I think one of the challenges for the Alaska National Guard in rural communities is that there are folks who have a vivid memory of how things used to be when the Alaska National Guard Armory was a de facto community center and nearly every able-bodied man and a number of women also were in the Guard. And they grew into a group of community leaders. And so I think that there's a fair amount of nostalgia about those days, and certainly a lot of pride, a lot of pride. And when we travel to rural communities, especially rural villages, you know, off the hubs, folks will show us photographs and memorabilia from their uncles and aunties and grandparents from that time. So that's been a couple of generations ago. And throughout our country, very few people are in uniform. Very few people are really interested in service, military service, and even fewer are eligible to be enlisted and to be retained. And so the more we get the word out about what we do and what are the benefits, the intangible benefits that I've described before, but also the tangible benefits, the pay, the benefits, the medical insurance, the ability to get free tuition in our colleges, tuition assistance, educational benefits, and to learn a skill. All of those things have to be known before they can be taken advantage of. So I think one of our challenges is just getting the word out so that they understand what we're like now, what are the opportunities now, and we're really trying to help communities get back to that place where they are really, that they have members who are in uniform and they have that sense of pride about that membership.